Today I would like you to turn in your Bible to the book of Romans. Let's turn together to the book of Romans and let's read in chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, verse 28 and following. Now let's read these verses together. I'd encourage you to get your Bible and let's follow along together now. Romans 8, 28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called, who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Now, what shall we say to these things?" Now, here are six vital questions. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? There are many foolish and absurd and ridiculous questions that are asked by a lot of religious people. The Pharisees peppered the Lord Jesus Christ with many foolish and fleshly questions. The Apostle Paul gave both Timothy and Titus some very good inspired advice about needless questions. Foolish, this is what he said, "Foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife." In our text today, we have six very important questions, six vital and powerful questions that I want you to consider this morning. I hope we can prayerfully and carefully consider them and ask God for wisdom to understand them. That's obvious to every thinking person that these questions that are contained here in Romans chapter 8 are very vital to our salvation, very vital to understanding the gospel. And yet we see that mainstream religion in our day completely discounts them and avoids them at all costs and counts them non-essential. I say, my friend, there's nothing that's found in the Word of God that's non-essential. Everything in the Scripture, my friend, is very vital, very essential. Now let's look at these six questions. Here's the first one, found in Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we say to these things? What do you say about these things? Now that refers back to what's said in verse 30. What do you say to these things? Let's read verse 30 again. "Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified." And then the question, what shall we say to these things? Now what do you say about these things? I found over the years that many people who call themselves believers have had some very hard and unpleasant things to say about these precious truths that are found in the Word of God. What do you say about these four things that are mentioned in verse 30? Whom He did predestinate. What does the Word of God say about these things? Well, the Scriptures teach that these things are all of God. Let's look at those four things. Predestination. Most religious people hate this word. They think it's an ugly word. But my friend, it's the blessed truth of God. And God's people love this precious truth. It's a word that God has chosen. It's a word that God has placed in the Scriptures four times. And it is a truth that's taught throughout the Bible. Now, verse 29 explains who these predestinated people are. Let's read Romans 8, 29. It says, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. For whom He did foreknow." God from all eternity has sovereignly chosen out of people unto Himself according to His foreknowledge. That's what the word foreknow foreknow means God's foreknowledge, His foreordination, His decrees. God foreappointed, foreordained these chosen elect people to be a peculiar people unto Himself. Those whom God has foreknown, loved before in eternity, are those whom God has chosen in Christ and predestinated those people to be just like Jesus Christ. That's what predestination is all about. God has foreordained and God has chosen a people and predestinated those people to be just like Jesus Christ. This foreknowledge of God is the basis and foundation of election and predestination. God works all things according to His own purpose. What do you say to these things? God predestinated the people to be just like Christ. Here's the second thing He said. Those whom He did predestinate, them He also called. This calling is a work of God. This epistle is written to those who are called in Christ. Now, it's obvious that men, all men everywhere, don't love God. In chapter 8, verse 7 of this same book of Romans, it said the carnal mind is enmity against God, deep-seated hatred against God. All men everywhere do not love God and will not come to the Lord Jesus Christ, because by nature they love darkness rather than the light. If a man ever embraces savingly the Lord Jesus Christ as everything in salvation, it is only because God has effectually called that person by the gospel. Called out of darkness into light. Called out of death into life. Called out of unbelief to Christ in faith. Paul put it this way, God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace. God calls His people, my friend, with the gospel. Those whom He predestinated, He called. Look what it says next. Those whom He called, He justified. This justification is a work of God. What does it mean to be justified? My friend, this is the theme of the whole book of Romans. Justification. How God can be just and justify the ungodly. To justify means to declare one to be righteous. To be made righteous and holy, unblameable before God in Christ. And this justification we read in Romans 3:24 is all of grace, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only through Christ, His blood, His merit, that a sinner is justified. God predestinated, God called, God justified. And then fourthly, it said He glorified those. This glorification is a work of God. Glorification is the end, the consummation of our salvation. This eternal glory is only realized in Christ. When the Lord Jesus Christ purged our sins, He sat down at the right hand of God, seated in the heavenlies. And my friend, when He went to glory, He went to glory as a representative man. When He sat down as a representative man, and His people are glorified already in Christ. Now, did you notice those things that are found in verse 30? They're all in the past tense. Those whom He did predestinate, He called, He justified, He glorified. In the mind and the purpose of God, salvation is done. Salvation is of the Lord. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning. Now, what shall we say to these things? What do you say to these things? Well, I say, thank God. Thank God. Not unto us, O Lord, but unto Thy name do we give glory. Now, here's the second question. If God be for us, who can be against us? Found in verse 31. If God be for those whom He foreknew, whom He predestinated, who can be against us? Who can be against His elect, His chosen people? If God be for us in eternal love, and He's loved His people eternally, if God be for us in eternal grace, in eternal election, in free justification, in effectual calling, and eternal glorification, who can be against His sheep? Well, not the law. Not the law of God. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made us free from the law of sin and death. The law has been honored. Not divine justice. The Lord Jesus Christ satisfied God's justice. Not Satan. He's been defeated and judged. Not death. Christ conquered it. Who can be against us? Well, my friend, there's no one who can be against God's elect. Now, here's the third question found in verse 32. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? God has declared that He will show mercy, that He will redeem and glorify people, that He will have a people just like the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the greatest evidence and proof of all that He promised He will fulfill. He spared not His own Son. God so loved that He gave Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ so loved that He took humanity in union with His deity, suffered the shame and reproach of the cross, bare our sin in His own body, died a horrible death to put away our sin. We shall have all that Christ purchased at Calvary. He freely gives these elect all things. My friend, did Christ die in vain? Absolutely not. He freely gives all that He requires. Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We know it's a gift of God to His elect. Righteousness. He gives us righteousness. He is the Lord, our righteousness. Blessed is the man to whom God would impute righteousness without works. He freely gives us all things because He spared not His own Son. He freely gives us all things, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. How shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Now in verse 33 we read, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who can lay anything to their charge? God's chosen, God's redeemed, God's elect. Let me ask you this. Are these people not chargeable? Yes. Yes, they are. They're guilty. Guilty with Adam's sin and Adam's guilt that's been imputed and charged to them. And they're guilty with their own sin, their own transgression, their own iniquity. Satan has also accused the brethren. But listen, all these charges avail nothing because Jesus Christ answered to every charge. Jesus Christ took our sin to Himself. He bare our sin in His own body. He took the penalty. He took the wrath. He paid our debt. Therefore, God is justified. It's God who justifieth. He is both now just and the justifier. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? None. There's no condemnation in Christ. It's God who justifieth. Now here's the fifth question. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, is risen again. Who can condemn the elect of God? Who can charge them? Who can condemn them? Condemnation is impossible for those who are in Christ. Romans 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 34, it gives four valid arguments why none can condemn God's chosen people. Who is he that condemneth? Here's the first one. It's Christ who died. He died to put away our sin. The second argument is this. Yea, rather, he is risen, delivered for our offenses, raised again for our justification. He is risen. Not only that, but he's at the right hand of God, a place of acceptance, power, and love. And here's the fourth argument. Who also maketh intercession for us. See what he's saying there? Who is he that condemneth? Christ died. Yea, rather is risen again. He is at the right hand of God, and he ever lives to intercede for his people. There's one God and one mediator between God and men. Who is that? That is the man, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he's able to save to the uttermost. All that come to God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Now here's the sixth question. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who? Who can? Who can condemn? Who can charge? Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Who can separate us from Christ? No one and nothing. Paul and all believers are fully persuaded that nothing in the whole universe, no matter what, good or bad, can sever, can dissolve this union, this love affair that the elect of God have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to what he says in these following verses. In closing, Romans 8:35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now listen to this category, this list. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written in Psalm 44, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. He said, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Where is the love of God found? My friend, the love of God is found and realized only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, my friend, those are six very vital questions. And I would encourage you to get your Bible and to study those questions and ask God to give you an understanding. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If you would like a copy of today's message, you write to me and I'll send it to you absolutely no charge. My address is Church, 6088 Zebulun Highway, Pikeville, Kentucky.